The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with John Couch on the other side of the glass. John engineering and producing the show on this 94th annual World Animal Day. Started back in 1925. So a big shout out to all of our animal friends. It is the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios on 1030 Tucson's voice, the trusted voice for news talk here in Southern Arizona. Big shout out to our media friends. We do this on Friday, TucsonSentinel.com. Thank you to Dylan Smith, Dan Shear, Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun. Thanks, Dan, for all your support.
Thank you.
Appreciate it through the years. Also, Tucson Local Media Group, which includes the Tucson Weekly and Inside Tucson Business, a couple of their half a dozen or so publications. Our Friday Focus interview today featuring former Arizona Attorney General Grant Woods, who is a very prominent Arizona Phoenix-based attorney and a political commentator. So there's lots to talk about with Grant Woods today, who served as the AG of Arizona from 1991 to 1999. Mr. Woods was a longtime friend and confidant of the late Senator John McCain and Senator McCain's family. In fact, in the 1980s, Grant Woods was John McCain's first congressional chief of staff. Last December, Governor Ducey appointed Martha McSally to fill the remainder of Senator McCain's term, and a special election was called for next year, for 2020. Grant Woods flirted with the idea of running for the seat as a Democrat. However, in February, he announced he would not seek election to McCain's former Senate seat to avoid campaigning against other Democrats. Joining me in studio, in our Bustos Media Tucson studios, Tim Steller, Metro columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Tim, how are you? Are you out of breath or what?
Yeah,
I thought so.
I slid into the seat just in time.
I know. I knew you.
I
would
always
be
make
here.
It.
You always make it. Yeah. Dan Shear is here, editorial director for the Arizona-based WIC newspaper chain, and it's a large chain, been growing. It's over two dozen publications, which of course include Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, where he is the editor. You've got papers, what, 25, is it?
We have almost 30 in 11 states.
Wow.
I'm going to be heading out next week to our newspaper in South Dakota.
In Pierre?
Yep.
I bet it says Capital somewhere in the
It does, Capital
the
Journal.
There you go, Capital Journal. Capital Journal in Pierre, South Dakota. Do not say Pierre right now. That is a no-no. All right, let's go to Phoenix now, and Grant Woods is with us on the live line. Grant, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Bill?
Doing real well. Let's begin with this, the impeachment talk. And I'm just wondering, and I think my friends here in studio also are wondering, how is that going to play Grant Woods in some of our more moderate congressional district races? Like I'm thinking of CD1 and Tom O'Halloran. What's your take on that, Grant?
Well, you know, I think it's still a little early because we don't know what's going to transpire. Something new happens every day here over the last couple of weeks. Overall, though, I think in the state as a whole, and then in districts that are competitive, I think the people that stand up for the rule of law and against this president will be the ones who are successful, and the ones who abandon their principles and continue to simply make up excuses or bend themselves into a pretzel to try to rationalize this behavior will end up getting kicked out of office or never get into office in the first place.
25%, the latest polling showing, of the Trump supporters say there is virtually nothing that the president could do that would change their minds about voting or voting against the president. Will this perhaps energize that 25%, or how will that go?
I don't think so. I think they're plenty energized. It doesn't take much, obviously. It's kind of a cult-like group, so I think you can count on them to show up and to vote. But that's okay, because there's a lot more people on the other side who understand that there really are democracy is at stake. If we can allow this sort of behavior and have it have no ramifications for the person doing the behavior or those who facilitate it, then I don't know what the next 4 years is going to look like. It will be pretty catastrophic, I think. So I think, you've got a hardcore group of Trump supporters. I don't know what their problem is, but they've just locked in here, and those are the ones you see at these ridiculous rallies. Beyond that, there's a lot. I'd just say there's a lot more of us than there are of them.
Here's Dan Scheer, the Green Valley News.
When you talk about kind of a cult-like status, a lot of people think that the GOP in Arizona might be headed that way under Kelly Ward's leadership. What do you think?
Yeah, that was a bad choice, I think, for sure. Her credentials for running the party were that she'd had disastrous runs herself for statewide office, so that didn't make a lot of sense. But I don't know. That's always been a strange group, not my favorites. First time I was elected attorney general, and we didn't have a Democrat was elected secretary of state. The governor's race was in a runoff, so I was the highest elected Republican. And the first state meeting I went to, I got booed off the stage, basically. So because I said that the first thing we need to do is go pass a Martin Luther King holiday, because it had just failed at the ballot. So that's never been my group. Let's put it that way. But those kind of looking like the golden years now. So when you think it can't get any nuttier, it does. But I think the Republican Party in Arizona and nationally, once we get rid of Trump, they're going to have to regroup and commit themselves to standing for principle rather than simply being in power. And if they'll do that, then I think there are a lot of people who are conservative in Arizona and across the country, and a lot of people who are moderate, who don't want to go the way of the socialists and the super liberals in the Democratic Party. So I think there's room for the Republican Party to do well in the future. But unless they're in a gerrymandered seat now, it's not going to happen for the Republican Party in Arizona or elsewhere in the near future. And it shouldn't, because of their behavior over the last couple of years with this president.
For reasons you just described, the independent party people, it's not a party, in Arizona, of course, one-third of registered voters are independent. Is this why it's growing? And is there any shot in heck for a true third party to rise in Arizona?
Yeah, I think so. I think the only thing we know for sure about independents in Arizona is that they are not Republicans or Democrats, but you can't categorize them as liberal or conservative necessarily. But we do know they rejected both parties. And I think that there's an awful lot of people within the Republican Party who view themselves as independent from this group. And if the Democrats go the way of the Bernie Sanders wing, then there's going to be an awful lot of Democrats who feel the same way. Can it be done? I've come to the conclusion that it can't be done for example, in a Senate race, because there's too much money involved. but could it be done in a governor's race or in another statewide race? I think it's possible if it was the right candidate. I do think it's possible in Arizona. We've been an independent group, an independent electorate, independent people since territorial days. And even though we've changed so much since those days, I think that basic independent spirit is still there. It's really kind of an anti-establishment spirit.
All right, here's Tim Steller of the Star.
Hi there, how's it going?
Hey, Tim.
Hey, I wanted to ask you about your consideration of running for the Senate as a Democrat and what drove you to decide not to run after being quite committed for a while to the idea that you were going to run. What were the specifics that led you to that decision?
Well, it was pretty much, it was an unusual situation in that it wasn't my life's goal to be in the United States Senate. Or I would have kind of gone down that path much earlier in my life. But it was my goal and is my goal to make sure that we get rid of Trump and the Trump sycophants. So that's why it seemed appropriate once McSally was appointed, even though she had lost, which is kind of a strange situation, that at least we have an alternative out there, someone who could run and beat her. And I think all the polling done in Arizona and by the big boys nationally all showed that I beat her pretty handily. Now, of course, that was, you never know what's going to happen in an election and things change, but I was certainly in a good position there. However, I'm not real comfortable as a Democrat, today, maybe again, if it was a different Democratic Party, I'd be more comfortable. But the idea of running in a hotly contested primary had zero appeal to me. And I made that clear from day one with the powers that be. And you're really not supposed to do that. You're supposed to go in and say, I'm running no matter what I'm in. And then you try to scare everybody out. And I couldn't do that because it wasn't true. The idea of me running for a year and a half against Democrats trying to prove how liberal I am when I'm not was a non-starter. So they had an alternative candidate with Kelly, and that was fine with me. So that ended that.
Going back to the Republican Party, it's proven to be an interesting balance between the more mainstream Republicans and the Kelly Ward faction. What do you think is so the Kelly Ward faction tends to appear more active and engaged, but then she always loses. So how big are these groups? Could you maybe define these factions and how big they really are within the Arizona Republican Party?
Boy, well, I'll give you my guess at it, but I'm not an expert on it. The last Republican meeting I went to was in 1996. Okay. And I was, since then, even as a precinct committeeman, I mean, they expelled me from, I guess, my voting rights. And, I was attorney general still, and I still didn't go to the meeting just because, and like I said, those were the glory days. That was a rational crowd compared to this crowd. I think it's always, and the Democrats have the same problem. There's a tug often between the people who are most active who happen to be the most extreme. So in the Republicans, you've always had people who were just really far right. And then you had kind of the Chamber of Commerce, more business-oriented Republicans, which are generally the ones who would get elected, not always, but generally the ones who would get elected and the ones who fund the campaigns and get behind campaigns. So those guys are all still there, and they have people like Ducey and others who they love. That's right in their wheelhouse. But the Ward crowd is a more they're perfectly happy to go down with the ship. And the Chamber of Commerce crowd, which I say that positively. I mean, the people who are pro business in this state, they don't want to go down with the ship. They want to win. So there's a real disconnect there right now, and they'll try to piece it together, but I don't think it'll work. I think what will happen is you'll have a disastrous 2020, and then Ward and the others will be tossed out, and you'll go back to something different.
All right. Grant Wood sticks around for another segment. He is our Friday Focus interview. We'll talk with Grant Woods about, it looks like Martha McSally now will have two challengers. in the primary, where Mark Kelly, so far that looks like he will not be primaried. Then what about Grant Woods for governor? We'll talk to him about that, his future political plans. Tim Steller is here. Dan Scheer, it's the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted news talk in Southern Arizona, in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
This is Moa Mosgallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at mosgallery.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's the Friday Focus interview here on 1030. The voice in Southern Arizona for trusted news talk in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, former Arizona Attorney General Grant Woods and political observer and very well-known attorney based up in the Phoenix area, is with us on the live line. Always good to hear Grant and his insights, political insights. Tim Steller is here from the Arizona Daily Star, Dan Scheer, Green Valley News, Saharita Sun. Let's begin with the current Arizona Attorney General, Grant Woods, that being Mr. Brnovich, who it's very interesting to note that when he was running as a newcomer, he was all over the place. He was calling, when can I be on your show, Bill? This and that. He was calling Dan Scheer at the Green Valley News. He was calling the Arizona Daily Star. I'm available for you anytime. He has been the ultimate nowhere man. This guy is just impossible to get in front of a phone in a studio. I don't understand what's going on. And now I'm hearing he's wants to run for governor. What the heck?
Well, you know,
what do you really mean there, Bill?
I didn't adopt that model when I was Attorney General.
No.
I kind of had the opposite approach. I don't know. I didn't know that. I didn't know that he hasn't been talking to people so much. He should. I mean, I think he's done a good job, and he's a smart guy and a very affable guy. He's got a good personality, so I don't know what that's all about. I really don't. And he can defend himself. He's taken... He hasn't only taken the orthodox positions as Attorney General. He's taken a few kind of unusual ones, but he can defend those. And I don't know. I'd keep trying, but I'll tell you what. I'm going to tell him you said that, and I'm going to challenge him to get on your show and defend himself.
There you go. What about you running for governor?
Yeah. I you know, I guess anything's possible. I'm I don't really like either party, so that's the problem. And running as an independent, I told you I thought it's possible for governor, but it's obviously it's difficult. It's a challenge, but that'd be fun. I guess that'd be the only way to go.
But are you?
I don't know. I'm not really focused on that right now.
But can we say you're seriously taking a look at running as an independent?
I'm seriously not taking a look at anything right now. Except I'm going to, you know, I want to be involved in next year on a couple of things. Probably in the presidential race. We'll see. It depends on who wins the nomination for the Democrats. If it's someone I can enthusiastically get behind, then I'm going to work hard for that, like a Biden or someone like that. And I think Joe Biden wins Arizona. I'm not sure anyone else does. So that's important. I'm interested, you know, there is a group looking at criminal justice reform, and I think I'm probably well qualified to work on that, having been a prosecutor and a public defender. So I'm interested in those, and, you know, and then we'll see where we're at.
All right. Here's Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News.
The New York Times yesterday had an article about the Arizona Senate race, and it pointed out that Mark Kelly, who of course is married to Gabby Giffords, isn't talking a lot about guns. He's talking about everything else except the issue, which has, of course, greatly impacted his own life. What do you make of that?
Well, he's got a real luxury right now that he doesn't have a primary opponent, so he doesn't have to say much. I haven't noticed him doing much of anything, to be honest with you. It's kind of a it's a new way to campaign in Arizona, and it worked fairly well, obviously, for Kyrsten Sinema. It's not a method that I'm familiar with, having been involved in campaigns my whole life in Arizona. And that is basically you sit in your room and send out a tweet every now and then and put out a video every now and then and otherwise just raise money every minute of every day. That seems to be the way people do it. I thought you went out and met people and told them exactly how you felt on the issues. But, you know, maybe you can't do that as a Democrat in Arizona and be successful. Maybe that's what's been decided. But, I've been surprised on that he hasn't taken much of a position on anything, and certainly not on guns. I mean, until recently, I was a Republican, and as Attorney General, as a Republican elected attorney general, I was for an assault weapons ban. I was for background checks. I was for closing gun show. I got a D minus from the NRA, and I still won. So if you can do that as a Republican in the 90s, I would think in 2019 you could do it as a Democrat. So I would hope he would speak out. But, you know, what do I know? Maybe that's the only way you can win these days, is just by playing it close to the vest and just raising money and having a TV campaign.
Tim Stiller wants to jump in here.
Just quickly on that. So we're a year out from the general election. Do you think, I mean, I want to give him this possible benefit of the doubt. It's a long way from the election, isn't it? I mean, do people in the old days that you're referring to, were people out, you know, shaking hands in October before an election the next year?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I was. But, you know, when I announced against the incumbent who was in my own party and had been there for 12 years. So I thought I had to do that. And, you know, it's a lot of fun to go to Bullhead City every month for 12 months. It's a lot of laughs up there, you know. I don't know. I'd say, Tim, here's my response. These are unusual times. And so, I give him the benefit of the doubt and say, yeah, he's trying to win an election, so let's play it close to the vest. Having said that, my God, how can you watch the news every day and say, it's going to be business as usual, and it's all about me, and it's all about winning this race? I think you got to speak up as an American nowadays and speak out on issues. And if it's Trump's antics, then you got to speak up out against Donald Trump and his complete disregard for the rule of law and for every political norm that we've had in this country and in this democracy. And if it's on guns, and I don't care what your background is. When we have a mass shooting as frequently as we do, then I think it's no time to be timid. And if that upsets some people in Arizona, then too bad. They should vote for somebody else.
Grant, red, blue, or purple? What color is Arizona?
I think it's definitely purple, and it's. What I think that means, it probably still leans a little right, but it's changing. And 20 years from now, it's going to be much more from to the purple blue side. The question is, how quickly do we get there? And I think if you look at Nevada, for example, we're probably about 10 years behind Nevada. I think we'll be pretty solidly blue 10 years from now. And so it just depends on when we get there. It also depends on a few communities. The Latino community obviously has been hasn't been great at getting out and making their voice known, but that's changing. And as it changes, the elections will change in Arizona. It's long overdue.
What's your take on these two challengers now that have stepped up to go against Senator McSally? Does this weaken, I mean, when you're primaried like that, and this could get, we know this could get nasty. Look at the Kelly Ward experience. So she could be here in a three-way primary that could be very nasty. Does this weaken her going into the general?
I think what it does is, I don't know, because the one guy, the first guy, I'd never heard of either one of them. The first guy seems to be a nut. I mean, he's taken some really insane views. The second person, I don't know who that is. But, you know, she has some options. One option is just to ignore these people and just, you know, run the general race. And the risk in that is, if she upsets the Trump people, then, you know, could they throw her over and make life difficult for her? I doubt it. I think they'll probably, she's been a good soldier for Trump, and I think she's going to go down with the ship, with the Trump ship. But I think it complicates her life. If she didn't have a primary, I think she would be more free to be a little more moderate in her views, kind of like she was when she ran for Congress down in your neck of the woods, mm-hmm. and portrayed herself as a moderate until she decided to run statewide as a Republican.
Tim Stiller.
Isn't she trapped no matter what, in the sense that she has to, first of all, the very avid pro-Trump Republicans don't like her anyway. I've found it's no matter how hard she tries, they still don't like her, and they're up on this McCarthy challenge and the other one.
Boy. I didn't know that. I mean, who does like her then?
Well, I mean, I would say the Chamber of Commerce, I mean, the Republicans win. That you're talking about.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, they'd like her. That's true. You know, I saw her. Look, I think she's trapped, but she's trapped by her own, you know, she stuck her foot knowingly into the trap. So that's the way it goes. You know, she's got to live with it now. I mean, she was just this week, she was, parading around Arizona with Mike Pence, just as Pence was doing his Sergeant Schultz, I know nothing, I saw nothing, routine. I mean, she's stuck with that, and she went, and you know, that's by choice, I guess. That's who she is. So if you're a Mike Pence Republican, if you think Donald Trump should be reelected, then you should vote for Martha McSally. It's pretty clear. If not, you shouldn't.
By the way, do you know Kurt Volker?
I do. Yeah, I do. Yeah.
What do you make of his involvement in this and the Ukraine affair?
Yeah, well, I was hopeful that it would have come out that it was something different. I just know him just through the McCain Institute and the things we did with John over the years up at, with the Institute in Sedona Forum, things like that. You know, nice guy, long career service. I'm not happy with what happened there. What came out yesterday, it looks like he didn't stand up and say, no, I'm not going to be part of this. He tried to facilitate it, and that's wrong. So, you know, you have your chances in life to stand up and do the right thing. And he should have remembered his John McCain side and not his Donald Trump side.
All right, we'll leave it right there. Grant Woods, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Okay, see you guys.
Thanks a lot. Thanks. Grant Woods with us on the Live Line, our Friday Focus interview on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. Lots to talk about on our roundtable portion of the program, including the Vice President's visit. Dan Scheer was there at the visit down at Caterpillar, and he showed me his sunburned face from standing outside. Man, you got like a third-degree burn there or something. Dan Scheer will stick around, as will Tim Stellar. It's Buckmaster on a Friday. We'll be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. Or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Now the Friday roundtable portion of the program in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. Tim Steller is here, and Tim from the Arizona Daily Star, Dan Scheer from the Green Valley News. Dan, oh man, that sunburn. Was it worth it? Was the
oh man, that's a really good question. But the electronic media had to be out there at 8 a.m. to set up their cameras and everything. The print got there at 10. He arrived, I don't know, 12:30, 12:45-ish, and a lot of that was outside. But once he started speaking, we were in the sun, and I'm very fair-skinned, and now I'm pink. So was it worth it? There's a great question, and a lot of the belly aching around is over, frankly, I-19 being closed for hours and hours and hours. And, of course, people are calling me saying, why didn't you tell us? We tried to get a hold of people, but they don't tell people things like this. We didn't even know how he was going to get from the airport down to the Caterpillar facility west of Green Valley. I mean, until right before it happened. And so they don't disclose a lot of those details for security reasons. It absolutely makes sense, but closing down I-19 for hours and hours, and I think it was about five hours.
He was here on behalf of McSally?
Well, he was here on behalf of a trade agreement that they're trying to get through, but it sounded an awful lot like a campaign speech. And what they sent out as, hey, this is what the vice president said at this event, was not quite accurate. He skipped a lot of it because it was hot. Even he left the stage for a short time, by the way. I don't know if it was for the heat or what, but he's trying to push that through that trade agreement, which a lot of people are on board with. They probably will be signed this month. And I talked to Ron Barber, who happened to be at the event, and he said the vice president misspoke and said that, you know, everyone needs to call Ann Kirkpatrick because she's against it. Well, she isn't, with one minor change involving profits and what people will be earning. She is on board with it, and he believes that this will go through and she will support it. So that's really the reason, but it sounded an awful lot like a campaign rally.
I'll tell you what sounded a lot like. I know Grant Wood said, well, I'm not serious about this, but sure sounded to me like he is taking a look at the independent path, Tim Steller.
Well, I'm sure he's taking a look, but I would caution you. I mean, look at the look he took at the Senate race. He was a deep look, you know, and he supposedly was in it, and then he wasn't. So, I mean, I could see where you're coming from, that he does make for a plausible, even more than plausible, gubernatorial candidate as an independent.
With independent registration going on.
Right, and I think what he didn't like about getting into that Senate race was, as he said, I'd have to convince people that I'm a Democrat and I'm really kind of sort of not.
Exactly.
And an independent. And you know what? Again, we were talking a little bit off air, and I think that he is pretty much like Trump in the way that he is really kind of just says it like it is.
Right.
It's just a more measured message, and he has a clear path, I think, to what he wants to do. I think he'd be a very interesting candidate
in Arizona.
What about
what he said about McSally?
Boy, he said that, you know, you look at Trump, then you see her, and his exact quote was, that's who she is. I disagree. I have always asked Martha McSally, when we've seen her, who's running your campaign? And of course, she always says that she is, but mm-hmm. I'm not so sure she's calling the shots on a lot of this. I see a different person than the person we saw years ago when she first got involved, and Tim wrote a good column on this very thing.
Yeah, so I wrote is that Axiom Strategies, her consultancy, campaign consultancy, was the one driving that ship in the campaign. However, I wouldn't, and I agree that they were the ones probably making that strategic decision that she had to go full in with Trump. However, I guess I hear Dan sort of what's, excusing is not the right word, but justifying McSally's going full in with Trump. I'm misstating what you're saying, that she isn't really fully in with Trump. And I disagree with that. I think that she really is, and she's shown it repeatedly. And it's the kind of situation where I feel like you get what you're what you see is what you get.
But you know, Tim, you and I, when we talk to these people, they're a little different than when they're talking in front of a crowd. And I see her as much more moderate one-on-one. But in front of people, you're right. She has taken this thing wholeheartedly, and therefore she has to answer for it. And she's in. But I think personally, you know, if everyone had a chance to talk to her one-on-one, they'd find out that she's maybe not Trump.
I wish that were the way she behaved as senator. Yes,
completely agree.
All right, let's leave national politics and state politics for a moment and go real local with politics. Mark Stegeman, 11 years on the TUSD board. Boy, he dropped a surprise on me.
Yeah.
He showed up about, you know, guests usually, I like it when, you know, I love guests to show up a little early, but he was kind of tight. And you know, I sit down. Yeah, and then he says, well, I've got something important to say. And I said, what is it? And he tells me quickly right before we go on the air. And it's like, whoa, what the heck? So I tried to figure out what the heck was behind it. And it sounds like a lot of it, Tim Steller, is family. And he feels that he's done pretty much everything he can do on the board.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I got to say, the message that he sent is not very hopeful for TUSD, at least from his perspective. I mean, he says he doesn't see a path forward for the changes he wants to make that he thinks are essential to TUSD's progress, and therefore it's not worth his time. Well, that's not a very hopeful message. Now, I'm sure you'll get something different from other board members who are still there, but it's worrisome. I mean, I got a child in TUSD, and I want it to thrive, you know, the whole city needs it to thrive if it can, but, you know, it's always been embroiled in controversy. And if I may add quickly, on the flip side, you know, Stegeman had his own kind of pole of the board and was constantly embroiled in controversy or in arguments with other board members. It would be great if someone like him or someone with opposing views or distinct views from those that dominate on the board were on the board but did not have his personality. It became a personality conflict over the years, and it was just irresolvable.
Hmm. Danny, I know that's not your
jurisdiction
there. No, but
I got a question for Tim on it. Yeah. Do you think TUSD is hopeless, as you kind of pointed out, or do you think that they just weren't going the direction he wanted? He saw it wasn't going to happen, and he just threw in the towel. We have all seen people bail out midterm, which bothers me to no end. You make a commitment, and you finish it. But this was pretty alarming.
Yeah, I mean,
especially when there's an election coming up next year.
Absolutely.
Right. Well, I take your point. There's a difference between it actually being hopeless and an individual member of the board feeling hopeless.
Correct.
And I definitely don't think it's hopeless, but it is really important that TUSD not, to the extent possible, you know, be as broad and appealing to the general public as possible. Now, it has a somewhat unearned reputation for cultural liberalism and that sort of thing. You know, this isn't going to help get rid of that perception.
Let's go now back to politics. There's a gentleman named Martin, Dan chair who is running for Congress?
Yeah, Brandon Martin.
Brandon, and he ran last time, right?
Yes, he was in the GOP primary for CD2 that Leah Marquez Peterson won, and he surprised everybody by doing so well. And he didn't have much money. He has a bold message and a presence. And for a lot of people, that was enough, particularly if they didn't like Leah Marquez Peterson, which a lot of people didn't because she wasn't getting out there very much. So he has come out with an email blast aimed at Ann Kirkpatrick. He's back in the race this time. And it was, I'll just say it, it was very inappropriate. It had a lot of references to guns, and you can read it any way you want, but it was definitely read to me as being violent, like, you know, Ann in her sights. It had a bullet at the bottom with the word support on it. It was just, he's trying to backtrack a little bit on it and just say, no, we're saying removing her politically. And of course, we don't think he wants to go out and shoot her. But you know what? Particularly in this district, you just don't do things like this. And in politics, you shouldn't do things like this. And I'll tell you this, I think the man on a moral level disqualified himself.
I appreciate the stand you're taking on this, especially because of the district and because of the times, and because it's obviously deliberate. It's knowing. You know, you can't be ignorant of the sensitivity of this issue in this district and at this time in our history.
This is a guy who's listening to the people who are directly surrounding him, but not listening to the next layer and the next and the next. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to hear this stuff. They want to know how you're going to be attacking the issues, not your opponent, and particularly in this way. And I tend to just roll my eyes at a lot of the stuff that comes by email or robocalls or whatever. This thing got my attention,
and he's being he's in a primary. Joseph Morgan is in that.
Yes, I believe there are five people there
already.
Yeah, I believe there's at least five. The last call I got, there are five.
Oh my goodness!
Well, and he's on the kind of Kelly Ward track, which is the one that toward a triumphant GOP primary and a terrible general election defeat. I mean, that's just the way these have gone. We've seen it for years.
Yeah. Okay, Tim. What do you have in the paper? Your column. Do you not want to disclose
totally
it,
unexpected.
Or have you crafted it, or are you going to go over to Rincon Market and write it now after
the show? I have a lot of work still to do, but I have something totally unexpected that has kind of exploded this morning, which is why I was late, and it relates to our cross-border relationship with Mexico and the personnel and consulates and politics in Mexico. Very interesting stuff. It's exactly the stuff I love that has kept me in Tucson all these years, honestly.
Really?
Yeah.
And this kind of broke right before the show here.
Well, I just understood it. Before, you know, I learned enough to understand the breadth of it the show.
Yeah. We'll read about it in the paper. Anything, Dan, that you'd like to mention about Green Valley?
If I get time today, Bill, I'm going to tell people about the first vice presidential visit to Green Valley, which was in the early 70s by Spiro Agnew, who actually spent the night there, probably in just one of our little villas. We didn't have any hotels or anything.
No.
So,
what year was that?
Early 70s.
Okay, yeah.
Spiro Agnew. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, this was not a first for us, this Pence thing.
Okay.
Yeah. We're veterans. So every 45 years, they come through.
Been a busy news week. We didn't even get a chance to talk about school funding and that decision from the federal court, but there'll be a lot more to talk about, I'm sure. Busy news week. Thanks very much, gentlemen. Tim Steller and Dan Scheer. All right, coming up next, Weekend Watch. Matt Russell is off today, and ably filling in his shoes will be our friend Dan Gibson from Visit Tucson. Weekend Watch is next.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock-full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Here we go. Stir it up, baby. It is Weekend Watch, presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, who say, looking for some weekend activity? Wow, they've got a beautiful area this time of year. Can't beat it. The aspens are turning a golden color right now, and the high country is very pretty, so it's worth your while. Take the 3-hour drive to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. A lot's to do. You can find out all about it at southwestnewmexico.org, spelled out. Great places to stay and lots to do. Dan Gibson of Visit Tucson is with us, ably filling in for Mr. Matt Russell. How are you, Dan?
I'm all right. I'm off work today, too. So
what?
I'm just going to say again, hey. I come through a little bit more than Mr. Russell. He's a lovely human being, but maybe a little lazy. I'm just not as dedicated to the show as I am.
There you go. All right. Quickly running out of time, so let's hear your weekend watch picks, please.
All right. Hotel McCoy, lovely property, celebrating their one-year anniversary this tomorrow, from 7 to 11 p.m., during a fun thing called Arizona Art Fest. Music, art, fashion, comedy, live mural painting, music by the pool, beer, wine, coffee, tea, food trucks, all this stuff. It's free for all ages. A celebration of what Nicole has done there at Hotel McCoy with the art and everything, revitalizing a pretty tough property. It's one of our favorite places to visit Tucson. Great celebration. That's something totally worth checking out tomorrow night. One of my favorite events of the entire year is also happening this weekend, the Mexican Baseball Fiesta, Keno Veterans Memorial Stadium. Teams from Mexico, a couple teams from the United States. The atmosphere, if you like baseball, it's great. Even if you just like hanging out, just like the spirit of this event is really wild. There's live music happening, just like this like real celebration of Mexican culture at Keno. That's, I think there's games all through Sunday, double headers, so you get a, it's a bargain as well. So wow. And tons of food and awesome things to enjoy. Also, it's also Oktoberfest time. Check basically any local brewery probably has some Oktoberfest thing. I would suggest 1055 downtown. They're having a costume contest, a Stein holding competition, German specialty foods, German beers. That's all weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Plenty to do down there as well.
Well, it's perfect weather. This is the time of year, you know, you love to get out and do something, right? I mean, it's great.
Oh, yeah, it's absolutely. It's starting to turn, you know, into the sort of fall that we enjoy. But, yeah, those outdoor activities look a lot more appealing. Tucson Meet Yourself is next weekend. So we're right in the middle of, like, the busy, you know, the end of the year busy time where there's just seemingly a million things going on.
I can't believe it. Tucson Meet Yourself already?
It sneaks up on you. Yeah, we're sponsoring Gustavo Arellano, the author of the Ask a Mexican Call of the book Tucson USA. He'll be giving a lecture on Friday at the Culture Kitchen at Tucson Meet Yourself. So you can learn something and eat way too much and regret your choices.
You know what we call it. Tucson, eat yourself.
Absolutely true.
All right, Dan Gibson, always a pleasure. You and your lovely family have a great weekend. Thank you, sir.
You as well.
All right, Dan Gibson with Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music composed by Chris Stefan. Thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt, and everyone here at KVOI, including engineer and producer John Couch. Thanks, John. The entire team here at Bustos Media. Have a great weekend.